I'm up on the tight wire.
I'm sitting in the arena across from my good friend Benjamin Alida Science.
And I'm sitting in Studio B, sitting across my good friend Daniel Chacon.
Welcome to another edition of Words on a Wire.
On this week's edition, we continue our interviews of authors that were attending AWP, the Associated Writers Program's annual conference, where there was over 13,000 writers.
We took our microphones, all our equipment, and we went through the book fair. This was a giant book fair, and we talked to a bunch of people. Today, we have on our show Rich Villar, Evelina Galang, Patrick Rosal, Jose Skinner, Shanat Carraza, Juan Guzman, Liz Scheid, Mark Brunetti, Juan Ochoa, and many, many, many more.
And I want to congratulate you, Daniel.
Well, thank you.
There was a wonderful review on NPR very recently. Alan Chu's loved your book, Hotel Juarez, as well. He should love it.
Oh, thank you, Ben. It was really a nice surprise, and it was good to hear. But not as good to hear as when you found out you won the Penn Faulkner Award for Everything Begins and Ends at the Kentucky Club. Now, that is huge.
And it was a beautiful and wonderful surprise.
You are the first and only Latino to ever win that, which is amazing. I mean, it's usually writers like John Updike and Philip Roth. I mean, you are the very first Latino to win that. So that's big news. Congratulations.
Well, it's congratulations to this community who gave me words and to the border who gave me the stories to tell.
Right on. All right. Well, stick around, and we are going to talk to a bunch of writers.
Stay tuned.
We're talking to Rich Villar.
Rich, yes.
Welcome to Boston AWP. What are you doing here?
Yeah, well, Boston, we had a very interesting cab driver.
And do you always come to AWP?
You know, this is my fourth conference. I went to the one in Atlanta. I was in New York, Denver, and now here.
So. And what is the value of AWP for you?
Well, for me, it's really about these events where you get to see, you know, all of these writers that you kind of see on Facebook and Twitter and you kind of hear about, you know, winning all these awards and all this wonderful, you know, all these wonderful accolades that, you know, also happen to be Latino writers. You know, everyone's in the same space. It's very rare that you know, get folks from all over the country in the same space. So the value for me is just, you know, kind of catching up with old friends and seeing what other people are up to and buying their books. It's a lovely thing.
And what are you working on these days?
I just finished a book. It's a finalist for the Willow Books Prize. I'm working on another collection now, and I have a couple of novel ideas that are floating around in my head. So I've been concentrating more on writing than anything else. I've been kind of known as an organizer, and that's its own work, and it's fulfilling. But I feel very much like organizers are more effective when, you know, they have their own work, you know, pretty much locked down and secure, and are, you know, actively putting out good work in the world too.
Well, thank you. We're talking to Rich Villar here in Boston at AWP. And Rich,
here in Boston. Beantown, Boston.
What's happening in the
Show
Bronx
us your lobster
days?
And your chowder.
What's happening in the Bronx these days?
The Bronx is kind of holding itself down like it always does, man. You know, we put a bit of a halt to the Acentos workshops for a little while. I think perhaps in the next few months we'll see those come back in some form or fashion. We've been partnering with other organizations on, you know, the sort of large-scale readings and things of that nature. We're, you know, proud partners with the Libro Traficante movement to reinstate Mexican-American studies in Tucson, Arizona, and support Latino literature wherever it is threatened by government entities or by anyone else.
Thank you, Rich. It's good to have you on Words on the Wire.
Thank you, sir.
We're here talking with Patrick Rosal and Evelina Galang. They're both writers. We had you on our show one time when you came out with your latest book.
Bone Shepherds.
Bone Shepherds, yes. It was an awesome book. So what have you been doing since then?
I've been working on some audio projects, making audio collages, and producing music and making audio collages.
What is that?
I'm doing a lot of what you're doing right now, which is interviewing people.
Uh-huh.
And what I do is I take the interviews and I chop them up to make new poems out of the text that I get in the interviews. Also, out of the ambient noise, I create string sounds and horns and drums. And so I create a music bed, and then on top of that, I chop up these poems from the interviews. So that's the audio project that I'm working on.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, and I'm going to tell a little story about you. And I know I've said this in person to you, but I'm going to put it on the air right now. The first time I went to New York, Evelina, I called Evelina. I says, "You know anyone in New York?" She says, "Yeah, I know Patrick Rosal. Maybe you could stay with him." And you let me stay with you for 4 nights.
I know.
And it was awesome.
We had a good time.
And that one night that we hung out in New York City, there was this open mic. And, you know, it's New York. And there was like this list of like 3-hour list of people. But you walk in and they go, "Patrick's here." And they put you at the top of the list. You did a poem and we left and went to a party.
Was the party good?
Oh, it was great. It was.
I don't remember.
it was on the top floor of this apartment, and we had this panoramic view, and it was awesome. Are you still doing open mics in New York?
Yeah, that's Louder Arts, Bar 13. My good friends, Roger Bonneri, Lynn Prokop, they run that. And so, and I'm on the advisory board for that, too. So, like, I still go.
Well, awesome. Regularly. Thank you. Patrick Rosal, Words on a Wire.
Woo!
Good to talk to you again.
Again.
We're talking to M. Evelina Galang, author of Her Wild American Self and
One Tribe.
One Tribe, mm-hmm. which won the AWP Novel Award about a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. What are you working on now?
I'm just finishing up the last edits of Angel de la Luna and the Fifth Glorious Mystery.
Oh,
novel.
I love the title. It sounds very mystical.
It's super mystical.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's coming out this fall. And I'm also finishing up the essays that I've been writing on the surviving comfort women of World War II.
Oh, yeah. You've been working on that for a long time.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
I have been working on them for a long time.
You know, and I have a personal story with you, too. The very first AWP I went to was in Portland. I don't remember what year it was, but it was a long time ago.
It was.
And that's where I met you. And and you've been at a lot of AWPs.
I've been to too many AWPs. Why do I keep coming?
Yeah. What is it about AWP?
Well, I think that for me, it's been part of my career, right? So I think probably when I met you, I was just coming out of graduate school and I had a book out.
Right.
My first book came out. And now I come to AWP as the director of my program at the University of Miami.
Oh, you're the director?
Yes,
awesome.
yes. And I bring 30 of our students and alumni here with me.
Wow.
And they're out and about, buzzing around, making a good name for us.
Awesome.
I come because there are different things to do at different times in my life.
Yeah. Well, it's good talking to you, and we're looking forward to your book. It's going to come out with Coffeehouse Press.
Yes, Coffeehouse Press.
And the
November
title again?
2013.
The title again?
Angel de la Luna and the Fifth Glorious Mystery.
By M. Evelina Galang. We're looking forward to that.
Thank you, Dan, for coming
on Worlds on a Wire.
We have with us today author Jose Skinner, author of Flight. He's attending the AWP conference with us. So how are you enjoying the conference so far, Jose?
I'm enjoying it a lot because of the solidarity, the number of authors that are here, a huge number of authors, magazines that I've never heard of. Represented
and many that you have, panels, I imagine,
and many that I have, and people like you guys, and thanks for this interview, people that I haven't seen for a while, but that I know, so it's good to remake connections and stuff, and hear what people have to say about publishing. There's a lot of new information, about e-publishing and all kinds of new changes that you got to kind of keep up with, and it's just good to hear people that are involved in the business, also.
Jose, when you're book came out, Flight, in 2001. It had quite an impact. What are you working on now?
Well, I just finished the novel that was initially it was too long, and agents, they wouldn't touch it because it's 160,000 words. So that's a lesson. I had to cut it, by a third, and so now it's at a nice 104,000 words. I counted each one.
And how many pages is that?
That would be about, depends on the, but I'm thinking 350, 400 pages, on the long
people,
side.
People get
still.
Scared when they see a really big novel, don't they? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do. That's true. To tell you the truth, I'm mostly a short story writer, and right. I have a collection of short stories also that I finish. It's all stories from New Mexico. That's be the subtitle, New Stories from New Mexico. So it's got that focus, but I'm used to writing short fiction, and I usually will go for a book of short stories before a novel, especially one of these,
you know, me
these
too,
tumbaburros,
absolutely.
No? Yeah. One of these doorstop things that they intimidate me, so I don't know why I wrote one.
Borges says, big book, big bore. Anyway, Jose Skinner, thank you for talking to us on Words on a Wire. We'll look out for that new novel. And meanwhile, everyone check out Flight. It's a great book.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
We're here talking to Shanath Karasa, whose new book just came out. It's called Conjuro.
Hola.
Oh, what a beautiful cover. Tell us about this book of poems.
Yes. Well, it's my first full-length collection of poetry, and it just came in last July. And Mammoth Publication is the editor, and she's right here. Denise Lowe is my editor. And the cover, the art that we have here is from Jesus Guzman. And he's from Mexico, in Chiapas, and it's a beautiful cover, isn't
cool.
it?
Cool. And are you enjoying AWP?
I am enjoying AWP, yes.
What have you been doing so far?
I've been in the book fair, of course, looking around and sitting with the Border Senses. They had a book signing for me. And also, we've been working with Continta. We had a wonderful event last night. We were there.
We had our microphones. We talked to Tino, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've been a little bit busy, yeah, definitely.
You want to read a little section from a poem, please?
Sure, I will. This poem is called Yanga. And it's a historical figure from Veracruz. And I'm just going to read a little part of it. So, Yanga, 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 Yanga. Hoy tu espíritu invoco aquí, en este lugar. Este es mi poema para Yanga. Mandinga, malanga, bamba, rumba, mambo, samba. Palabras llegadas de África.
Oh, Shanath,
Thank you so much.
I think you evoke the spirits. They're here with us now.
Thank you for stopping by the booth.
Let's talk to Denise Lowe Wesso. You are a former poet laureate of Kansas.
I am indeed. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm also an outgoing board member of AWP. So welcome, and I hope you all are having a wonderful time. We think of this as our greatest literary party.
Oh, it is. It is quite a pachanga, as we say.
Well, then, thanks for all your contributions to our organization.
We're here talking to a couple of Fresno poets, Juan Luis Guzman, and Liz Scheid Guzman. No, just kidding. Liz, can I tell the story? Liz Scheid, who is a fantastic poet.
We'll never be able to do this again, by the way.
Yeah, I'm outing you guys right now. Liz Scheid Guzman, who is a wonderful poet, has a book coming out at the end of this month, didn't want to pay full fees. So she came as a spouse, and it says Liz Scheid Guzman. And you know, when you have on your lanyard, you have where you're from. Mine says University of Texas, El Paso. Hers says spouse.
Yeah, wait till her husband finds out.
Oh, yes. You know, I actually am married.
You got to be from Fresno. You're like a Chicano.
Oh, my God.
So how are you guys enjoying AWP?
We are loving it. We're just having a great time, just completely overwhelmed by all the amazing writers, all the wonderful literary magazines, and just the noise of it all. It's spectacular.
So much snow, though, especially for Fresno people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Juan read last night and did an incredible job. Mm-hmm.
Well, congratulations, Juan.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I did a reading that was sponsored by Emerson College with Sasha Pimentel and with Pablo Martinez, and that was really great. And then after that, we did a reading that was a joint reading with Canto Mundo, Kavakanam, and Kundeman, and it was really great reading as well.
That's absolutely marvelous.
It was wonderful, yeah.
It's absolutely marvelous. Yeah. Keep enjoying yourself at the conference, and thank you for stopping by our booth here at Words on a Wire.
Thank you.
And Liz, we'll be getting you on the show when your new book comes out.
Yay!
It's a book of lyrical essays.
Yes, without Guzman at the end.
Yes, so Liz Scheid. She's not really Guzman, and she's not really Juan's spouse.
Thank you.
We're talking to Mark Baird.
Mark Brunetti, actually.
Mark Brunetti.
Yes, that's my writer's name.
And you're over here. Oh, you have a nom de plume.
Yes.
Awesome. And tell us, what are you doing here at AWP?
Well, I'm here representing with William Patterson University, but personally, I put out an underground literary magazine called The Idiom, and I hand it out for free, and we sell books and anthologies of the copies and things. We accept writers from all over. You can go to theidiommag.com and see a bunch of our stuff. We actually have our own podcast, too.
And how would somebody find your podcast?
Go to theidiommag.com, and right on the left-hand side, you'll see the Idiom podcast. So.
Well, excellent.
And we interview the writers that are in it. And
Mark Brunetti, we're going to look out for you. And what are you, a poet or a fiction writer or
poet.
Both?
poet.
And you can even see free copies online. There's an online version that you could check out, too. So
excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Mark. It's good meeting you. And are you enjoying AWP?
Oh, yeah. Love it here.
Yeah. How can you get 11,000 riders together and not love it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks for joining us on Words on a Wire.
Nice. Thank you.
Look who just walked in, Juan Ochoa, whose new book is coming out called Marihuano. Marihuano. Juan, tell us about this book.
Well, it's my humble attempt to bring an end to the senseless violence called the drug war. We're going to try to keep guns out of the hands of babies.
Awesome, awesome. You know, I read this book.
Yes, but
I read it, and it's an awesome book, and I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, you blurred my book, and you said a lot of good things about it. I appreciate it.
Well, I certainly enjoyed the book. And who are you with today?
I'm with my boss, Joe Haskey. He's also has a book coming out in September. He's giving a voice to the working man. We got a poet, Rodney Gomez, who's also has a manuscript that's on the horizon. Say hi, guys.
Hey, how you doing? How's it going?
It's going great. Now, what's your name again?
Joe.
And tell us about your book.
Yeah, my book is it's a novel of fiction, and it's centered around the murder of a grandfather. But it deals with a lot of working class issues, you know, the problems that people have just trying to make it in the world, right? And sometimes it's tough enough as it is, and then you throw in problems like people getting murdered, you know?
A lot of it takes place on the border and in Mexico.
Yeah, there are parts of it on the border in Mexico and other parts in different parts of the country, and...
Where do you live? You live in the valley, too?
I live in Mission, Texas. Yeah.
Mission, Texas.
Not too far from Juan, yeah.
Oh, yeah? You guys are neighbors, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have a book coming out, too?
I do not have a book. I have a manuscript that is looking for a publisher, actually. It's a book of poems.
Oh, excellent. What's the title?
It's tentatively called Mouthful of Night. It's firmly
Mouthful
based in the
night.
Rio Grande Valley.
That's
I'm a Brownsville native. So,
You guys are all Valley Chicanos.
We are.
Awesome.
That's right.
We're trying to put the Valley back on the map, you know. They got us isolated like something like a Mongolia between China and Russia or something, some satellite country.
Well, and in Chuco, you've always been on our map.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, but no, there's a rich tradition of Chicano literature coming out of the Valley.
And it's still coming. There's a whole lot of talent that's been untapped there, and we're trying real hard to knock down the old patron system where, we have to be grateful for any little bit of praise. No, we want to get loud and proud and knock down some doors and tear down some walls.
So are you at all worried that your novel is going to shake things up and get you in trouble with the...
I'm kind of looking forward to shaking things up. The only thing I'm worried about is getting killed in
the
process.
That's what I meant. I just didn't want to be insensitive.
Yeah, you know, I'm a lot more worried about... the people I out politically than I do than the ones that I out on the underworld scene, the authorities and stuff like that. Those are my greatest concern.
You know, can I take my blurb back? I'm a little afraid now.
No. I'm hiding behind you when the shooting starts.
Well, thank you, Juan. I met you a couple of years ago in Denver.
Sure,
we've been friends ever since.
It's good to see you again.
Yeah,
we made a good connection.
And when your book comes out, we'll get you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it, Daniel. Nice talking
good
to you.
Good to see you. Bye. I'm standing here with Dan Vera, whose new book just came out. It's called, you say the title. I bet you say it better than I do.
It's called Speaking Weedy Weedy.
Speaking Weedy Weedy. That's an awesome title. It's a beautiful cover. It just came out with Red Hand Press, and this was a prize winner. This was the Letras Latinas?
Red Hand Poetry Prize.
And it's for a second book of poems.
Right.
And I understand you just saw this book day before yesterday, or yesterday.
I saw it Wednesday night.
Wednesday night, wow. Yeah. And how did it feel?
I was stunned. It's a beautiful book, and sort of hold it in your hands and sort of see it.
This is the first year they've done this, right? They've done the Andres Montoya Poetry Prize since Cheryl Luna won it in, I think it was 2009, perhaps. Lorianne Guerrero was this year's winner we were talking to yesterday. Right. So tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, the book's a collection of poems about my childhood in South Texas, my family's originally from Cuba, and they settled in South Texas, where I was born. And so it's kind of an exploration of sort of family history, but also language and identity. And
Weedy Weedy is language, right?
Yeah,
Puto Weedy Weedy.
Puto Weedy Weedy. My father, you know, if we started speaking too much English, he never really learned English. And so he'd say, you know, para de hablar Weedy Weedy. You know, he just got really... And I think, you know, we thought it was a word he came up with, but as it turns out, no. Weedy... But, you know, it's kind of nonsense language for him.
Right. Well, congratulations. And essentially, these poems are about... How would you characterize your book?
I think it's, you know, my trying to make sense of the hurdles and the trouble about sort of pulling apart family identity and how language sometimes is a... I mean, it's hard to sort of pull apart dominant language and, you know, the language you sort of grew up with. And, you know, also conflicted family history, identity, some racial, you know, identity history as well, sort of in the family. So...
Was it emotionally difficult for you to write this book?
It was. I mean, there was some family history that had never been vocally explored. So being from a family that some of the family history is about wrestling around racial identity. So, you know, really sort of putting that on the page and sort of exploring what it means to have African roots and, you know, on my grandfather's side that hasn't been sort of really talked about or sort of kind of written about. But it's also about sort of kind of the political, you know, for me, language is kind of mixed up because my Spanish is a mixture of South Texas, you know, Chicano Spanish. And so, you know, I'd open my mouth up growing up and they'd say, well, where are you from? And I'd say, well, I was born in the Valley, but my parents are from Cuba. And they say, oh, well, you know, eres cubano, you know. But I'd be in Miami and I'd start talking and they'd say, where are you from? And I said, well,
and then they say, eres Chicano.
Yeah, and I say, you know, Tejano. So it was this whole, you know, it's that trying to, you know, make some sense of how, you know, language has sort of made up my identity. So,
well, Dan, we'll have you on the show when we get a chance to read the book. It just came out on Wednesday, so we haven't read it yet. But we'll get you on the show. But meanwhile, tell us, are you enjoying AWP?
You know, I'm loving AWP. The highlight so far was the Contenta Pachanga last night. Honoring Tino Villanueva it's just this really great opportunity to sort of like connect up with other writers that I just don't see. I'm in Washington, D.C., and there is a Latino community there, but sort of like connecting up with other writers, it's just this kind of, you know, feeling of warmth and connection. But also having the opportunity to like sign the new book, and Red Hen's been a really great press to work with. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. I mean, it's kind of an old home. This is my fifth AWP, so... There are people I only see when I come here.
Right,
and
right.
People I know on Facebook that I, you know, I finally get an opportunity to sort of meet in person.
So. Yeah, yeah. We've been friends on Facebook for probably a year or so.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
This is the first time I think we've met in person. So right. It's good to meet you.
Like in person.
Thanks for stopping by the booth, Dan.
Oh, thanks so much.
And congratulations again.
Thank you.
I'm here talking to Andre Yang, poet from Fresno, California.
Hey.
Andre, what are you working on these days?
I'm... teaching in Fresno.
At Fresno State? At
Fresno State and Fresno City, adjuncting. Yeah.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, yes.
And does that give you time to work on your poetry?
It does here and there, but I'm teaching three different classes and having to switch modes all the time. But
yeah, sometimes teaching does take away from our poems and our work, huh?
It teaches us how to use our time more wisely.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
You're working on an organization for Hmong poets, I understand. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I'm a founding member of the Hmong American Writers Circle, and you can go to Hmongwriters.org to find out more about our group. But we've actually been around since 2004. And in 2011, I believe, we came out with a Hmong American Literary Anthology titled How Do I Begin? A Hmong American Literary Anthology, published by Heyday in Berkeley.
Wow,
that was
awesome.
Our project. We're really excited about that.
Has there been much Hmong poetry before this anthology and before your work?
There is no documented Hmong writing system prior to the 1950s, and it was then that Catholic and Christian missionaries came to the mountains of Laos where the Hmong people were and devised a Romanized popular alphabet, RPA, that's what's known, a writing system to translate the Bible and convert Hmong people.
Oh,
and so
wow.
We really don't have too many... forefathers of Hmong American writing.
Maybe the advantage is you could break the rules because they don't exist.
Yes, exactly. That is an incredible advantage, but it's scary all the same.
I bet. So let me ask you, is there a lot of code switching in Hmong poetry where you go from English to Hmong?
I do that all the time in my work. So.
Well, cool. We're talking to Andrew Yang. Andrew, thanks for joining us for Words on a Wire. You enjoying AWP?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you.
I'm here with Antonio Farias, here at AWP. We're interviewing all kinds of writers, all kinds of people involved in the book business. So, Antonio, what brings you to AWP?
That's the $64,000 question. Well, people like you, this is a networking opportunity for me. Well, there's two reasons. One is the official reason, and one is the unofficial reason. So the above board reason is I'm here because I'm on a panel. I'm the chief diversity officer at the Coast Guard Academy. So I'm here to do a panel with my good friend Jose Gonzalez, who's a poet and a writer and the chair of the English department. and we're doing a panel on basically how we introduce poetry into the cadet officer development model in order to basically make them better humans. And then there's an, even an undercurrent to that, because it's not just introducing them to poetry and poetry slams, because any university can do that, but it's the slam and the whole version of the slam, which comes out of very sort of raices of people of color. And we're also introducing a lot of multicultural programming under there. So we're bringing a lot of Latino writers, a lot of African-American writers, and we're teaching them about a canon that traditionally isn't served in a military sort of curriculum. The underground reason is because this is also a passion for me. I've been sort of dancing around writing now for the last, you know, since I was a kid. But, you know, I grew up as a migrant kid of parents where, you know, being a writer was not something you did. You had to go be a lawyer, a doctor, or something else. And I was horrible at calculus, so I ended up being a comp lit major after I got out of the Army. But writing's been always something, you know, that I've played with, and partly it's because I've never felt comfortable saying I'm a writer. Even though I got picked up by Latino Boom, I got picked up by the Norton, the Flash Fiction collection that came out. So Bilingual Press has published a story or two.
So you are a writer.
So I am a writer. So I should say that I am a writer, right? That's the beginning.
Now say it again. I am a writer.
Yes. Hello, my name is Antonio Farias, and I am a writer. So, and I'm also right now in a transition phase where, you know, at 47, I'm looking at becoming that writer, you know, fully out, and I'm finishing an MFA, so a low residency MFA at UC Riverside, in order to complete that sort of I am a writer by, not just by the degree, but because of the interaction with people. So,
are you working with Juan Felipe Herrera?
I am not.
Are you working with Susan Strait?
Oh, no. No, because I'm at they're at the main campus. So I'm at the Palm Desert campus.
Oh, I see.
So it's a different faculty, and the people that come through there, I think Susan Strait is there. She's popped in and out as a residency, but she's not a permanent faculty member there.
Well, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much. Muchas gracias.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Words on the Wire.
That was a lot of fun talking to all those writers in Boston. 13,000 of them.
13,000 writers, and it's the biggest conference in this country where all of the creative writing programs, writers, graduate students, they all attend. Quite overwhelming. But when you go there, you realize that writing in America is alive and well.
And then the book fair, it was huge. They had to put it in three different halls. It was so humongous. And there were so many books, and I bought a bunch of them.
Yeah,
probably more than I should have.
I know. But you know something, we always talk about the death of American literature, the death of books. And we forget, we really do forget, we're always doing this gloom and doom thing when we talk about American letters. And the fact of the matter is that books, no matter what the future brings, today are very much alive.
Oh, absolutely. There are hundreds of thousands of books that come out every year. And you know what? The weird thing is, most of them are good.
Yes, they are. There's a lot of good writing being done in America. And thanks for listening to another edition of Words on the Wire.
Make sure you join us next week for another exciting show. My name is Daniel Chacon.
And I'm Benjamin Alida Sainz.
And don't forget, the next book you read
may save your life.
I'm up on the tie wire. One side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus game with you and me. I'm up on the tie rope.